OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota, and we are live here again. It is Friday, 2:02 p.m. Central Time. That way you can timestamp me, so if somebody says something, you know. Okay. All right. So, anyway. We are live here. I hope you're doing well. I hope you've had a good week and you've been busy. I've been busy. And as always, with all kinds of things. And I've been threatening you that I was going to talk about this book that I read. And that I was going to talk about the phony moonwalk. The only moonwalk I know that is real was Michael Jackson's moonwalk. And then Michael Jackson also sung about a smooth criminal, which was himself, and also the federal government. And then he sung a song called Dirty Diana, which was, in my opinion, was about the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. Dirty Diana. Okay, anyway, so that all that... that's the only real moonwalk, all right? That's the only real one. So... this one right here, what we're going to talk about today is phony. Now, let me get into some preliminaries here, then we'll get into the meat of the topic here, so to speak. And I'll spend the rest of the time doing that. But don't forget to pray for our trip to Canada. I'm still working out all the details about that. I've got pretty much Canada's nailed down. I'm checking in Friday night. So I'm going to be driving Thursday and I'll be driving Friday and I'll check in Friday. We will check in Friday night. And then I'm trying to figure out, we're trying to figure out when we're going to go preaching and all those things. We got to have 2 hours, an hour and a half or so to get up to Niagara from there. So I'm thinking we might do that Monday. I'm preaching 3 times on Sunday. And then I think we're preaching Monday. We're either going to preach Wednesday night or because I'm preaching again Tuesday. Okay? Because their midweek service is going to be Tuesday. And I've got to figure out when we're getting to up to Niagara. I'm trying to work that out so Daryl and Teresa can be there as well. So I'm working on that. And I'm thinking the only day we're going to be able to do that is Monday. And we're going to do some evening preaching. Obviously. So I'm trying to figure all that out. I'm working on that. Coordinate all that. I've got a lot of things to record while I'm there. Some awesome Baptist history. I'm going to do a biography, a Baptist biography on the Baptist battler, E.T. Shields. So I'm going to record all the footage I can from up there, look at the history there. We're going to go visit that church, and we're going to visit the history of all those things, okay? And so I'm definitely looking forward to that. But... so you pray for us about all those things as we kind of put all that together. And then, so I think I'm going to do some PowerPoints there. I've got some things in mind. And I don't know. We'll see. I think I'm going to do some PowerPoints there. 3 PowerPoint sessions. on Monday, or excuse me, Sunday. By the way, those sermons will be later. We won't start on Sunday until 2 p.m. So, all right. It'll be good. So, we'll have evening services. They will be broadcasted live through Rumble. And all that good stuff. So, that'll be that Monday, or Sunday, excuse me. That'll be that Sunday. And then Tuesday, they'll be broadcasted through Rumble and Sermon Audio also. So, then I'm heading to Pennsylvania. Then to New England. So you pray for us about all that. If you'd like to give towards any of that, just let us know. You can go to our website. Information on how to give is there. PayPal, salvationpreacher at gmail.com. Apple Pay, Venmo, Cash App, all kinds of weird stuff. Or you can mail something. You can find that on Sermon Audio. All right? So anyway, that gives you all the update about those things, and we'll let you know sooner. Or I could just start charging you for premium, like $100 a month. Not gonna happen. All right. I'm not that popular. Or cool. All right, anyway. So, we're going to talk about this moon thing. Okay, so, this website here. This is called Sibryl.com. Now, full stop here. I'm going to be clear with you. Before I read this book, and before I heard this author, I totally believed that the moon landing was fake. I already did believe it was fake. Because just when you say this to me, it makes me laugh. When you say, I can't help it. Stop. Okay. I'm going to try it. When somebody tells me, yeah, we landed on the moon, I automatically want to laugh. Like, automatically, I truly want to start laughing. Because I think it sounds like the craziest, most preposterous thing that you could ever invent in your life. I totally cannot grasp my mind around people believing this. I just don't believe it. And after I read this book, I definitely didn't believe it. I definitely did not believe it. Now, I'm not getting paid anything for this, but I think you should buy this man's book. I bought it. Actually, one of my men bought it for me. But we bought it, okay? Buy the guy's book. Just buy it. It's in print or Kindle audio even. Buy the book. It's not that much money. He's got a lot of good information in here. I mean, he did his homework. He's an investigative journalist. And he worked for CBS and a few others. Can I vouch for everything the man says? No, I can only vouch for everything my Bible says. Okay? But when somebody tells me the government's lying to me, I'm like, yeah, I probably believe you. You remember Culver's 19, don't you? Yeah. You remember Building 7? right? How it, like, it was jealous of the other two buildings falling, so it just fell on its own. Right? Carl, quit making stuff up, all right? Look, Carl, like somebody told me a long time ago, you don't got to lie to kick it, brother, all right? You don't got to lie to kick it, all right? I'm just kidding. You ain't got to lie to kick it, Carl. I'm just teasing. Carl's not lying. He knows I'm having fun with him. Oh. Anyway, but yeah. So, Carl, you're familiar with this Sibrel.com. I read this book. I couldn't put it down. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't put it down. You know, I do what I do always. I underline and take notes and write all over everything and make everybody all mad at me, right? And after I was done reading it, I mean, halfway through it, and I'm listening. Now, I'm not going to get you, like, I'm not going to read all this book to you. I'm gonna show you videos. But what happens is if you have the book works uniquely with the videos. In the sense that when you're reading the book, it directs you to go to this video and watch the video. And you watch it in the stuff that he writes in the book, and it all is like, man, that is so stinking good. It's just crystal clear. So, I recommend buying it and reading it. I think you'll enjoy it. I enjoy, even if you don't agree with everything he says. Right? There shouldn't be a 2-minute delay. Oh, you're talking about the video. That's what you're talking about. There ain't no 2 minutes here. So, yeah, you're right. There is a 2-minute delay. I know what you're talking about, Fabian. Now, I know what you're talking about.
Damon. I didn't know what you were talking about, Damon. Damon, can you hear me, Damon?
Anyway. Okay. So, anyway, there you go. So I read the book and I was like, you know what? This is good. In the beginning of the book, he tells his story about how he got footage that he shouldn't have had. And he said the CIA came after him. There's a video that I can't show you on this. You can watch it on your own. But this is a family-friendly broadcast. And there's a video on here called Astronauts Gone Wild. It goes along with a chapter in his book called Astronauts Gone Wild. Okay? And in that, these astronauts, he interviews these astronauts. And he used to work for, like, I think it was CBS. But he interviewed them afterwards, right? And they got mad at him. And they got physically violent with him. All those astronauts cussed him out. I mean, cussed him out. Threatened him. One astronaut Buzz Aldrin punched him in the face. That's on video. Right? Another one said that they were going to, his son said, let's call the CIA and have him waxed. All of that's on video. So I'm going to bring you some of the evidence through these videos, and but I'm telling you, the book, buy the book from the man. What happened was he was getting like hundreds of thousands of hits on his YouTube page. And they got so mad at him for exposing this on his YouTube page that they demonetized his account. Because YouTube is working for the CIA. So they demonetized his account and then allowed his account to go back on, but don't give him any money for advertising. So they're advertising for free on his pages. And that's exactly, so they ripped him off. So he said he lost like half of his income from his investigative journalist work because of YouTube. So buy the book from the guy just to stick it to those people. That's what I would do. That's what, I mean, we bought it. I think it's a good book. Again, I don't agree with everything in it. There's some things that I wouldn't agree with, a few things, but most of it I agree with. I think he's like pretty spot on. He mentions a quote in there by the only thing, I mean, he's not King James only, so that's obviously that's going to be, that's an issue with us, but he uses one quote from Ellen White in there, but it's not a, like a theological quote or anything. I think it's just a historical one from what I remember. It's nothing that matters. So anyway, either way, a lot of what he's saying is true. And it's okay. I'll tell you what, there's more proof in my opinion that this man is telling the truth about them not going to the moon. Then there's proof that a man walked on the moon. There you go. I'm saying that straight up. I believe that there is more proof for what he's saying than for what they're saying. And I'm going to show you that today in this. So, anyway, I have no idea what his religious affiliations are. He claims to be a believer in Christ. He mentions that men ought to repent, and he mentions that a few times in there, but again, I'm not getting my theology from him. But as investigative journalism, he has a theory, and his theory is that at 9/11, which, yes, was an inside job, that at 9/11, the day before that, when Rumsfeld had all the cash and all the money, there was $1 trillion missing or something like that. And then all of a sudden, that whole investigation disappeared. Well, after that, after his investigation and after all those things and after that money disappeared, right? Well, then now you have, a few years later, you have these massive, huge social media platforms that arise, and their stocks are worth billions of dollars. You've got Twitter. You've got Facebook. Right? All these big platforms come around, and they've got billions of dollars worth of money, and Google, and they basically control. And I believe Google is controlled by the CIA. I believe all of them are controlled by the CIA. Through Operation Mockingbird and all these other things. Now, I've had people that think I'm wasting my time talking about this and all those things. Well, I'll leave my time up to the Lord as far as what I do with it. And God is the judge of what I do with my time. But I think he makes some good points. I think that he makes some very valid points to what he says. So I'm not going to get into the first half of the book where he really kind of nails down. He did find the video, and I'm going to show you. I think it's on here as I go through this book. I'm going to read you some portions of the book. We'll talk about those. And then we'll get to, you know, everything else. And we'll show the videos and all those other things, okay? But I'll tell you what, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. As I read what's on here and I see what's being, as I've read the book and I look at his evidence, it's kind of a no-brainer. So we're going to watch this, and then I'm going to read you some things. And and we're going to see kind of where it falls in. But just listen to a few things here. Then I'll read you some portions of the book as well.
Some people say it's hard to believe that the moon landings were faked. I say it's hard to believe that they were real. What NASA is claiming is that they went 1,000 times farther than they can go today with 50-year-older technology on the very first attempt with 1/1,000,000th the computing power in all of NASA than is in a cell phone.
Now, that guy just said more right there. And by the way, this is not going to be the only broadcast that I do on this. I'm sure of it. It's already 2:30, and I'm going to stop this. And I hope it doesn't annoy you when I stop and give my commentary on it. Because what he just said, and I'll back it up again so you can hear it through. But what he just said is powerful. With 1/1,000,000th of the computing power that is in my iPhone, and they went to the moon. But they can't do it now. They can't get a guy walking on the moon now. But you're telling me that they had one back in the 60s. You're just never going to get me to believe that. And then wait till you hear the other arguments he lays out. Again, buy the book. You'll enjoy it. You'll thank me. You really will.
Farther than they can go today. I say it's hard to believe that they were real. What NASA is claiming is that they went 1,000 times farther than they can go today with 50-year-older technology on the very first attempt with 1/1,000,000th the computing power in all of NASA than is in a cell phone. All the proof that you need that the moon landings are fake is in this one picture. In sunlight, shadows will always run parallel with one another. This is because the sun is about a million times bigger than the earth, and it casts shadows in the same direction over an entire continent. So you'll see in sunlight, shadows always run parallel and never intersect. Here's a picture which the federal government claims was taken on the moon. The astronaut's shadow runs at 12 o'clock, and this rock, only about 5 feet away, the shadow runs at 9 o'clock. This is a 90-degree difference from objects 5 feet apart from one another. This proves that this was taken on Earth with an electrical light inside of a television studio. This is all the proof that you need that the moon landings were fake. If Toyota said that they made a car 50 years ago that could go 50,000 miles on a gallon of gasoline, and yet today their best car could only go 50 miles per gallon, or 1,000th the distance, wouldn't the fraud of the previous claim be obvious? And yet, this is exactly the moon landing fraud. And yet, people don't see it because of their emotional attachment to it. They're claiming they went 1,000 times farther 50 years ago than they can go today with 50-year-older technology.
Let's stop there for a second and rewind that. I want you to listen to that.
They're claiming they went 1,000 times farther 50 years ago than they can go today with 50-year-older technology. That doesn't make any sense.
Does it make any sense to you? Let's look at it logically. Let me ask you a question. Does it make any sense to you that, number one, with that ancient, with that old equipment that they had back then, and the technology that we have now, let's use this as an example. Let's use this as an example. You ready? Okay. So back in the 80s, or excuse me, back in the 90s, I had a Nokia candy bar phone. You ever had one of those? Let's look one up. Let's see. There it is. It was like that. Let me show you. Something like that. That was similar to my Nokia candy bar phone. Similar. Okay? Let's see if I can find a better one that really shows my Nokia classic candy bar phone. Hey, yeah, this is it. Just like this. Here you go. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Back then, with that phone, no technology, I couldn't text. I couldn't do any of those things. Right? But that's what that phone was like. That was before texting. It's kind of like that. That's it right there. That phone. Okay? Look what I have now. Right? Look what my phone can do now. What can my phone do now? Well, 10 times what it could do then. I mean, no. Literally. Like 100 times what it could do then. Thousands. A million times, right? How do we calculate that, people? How do I calculate what that can do? And you're telling me they took this Nokia phone. I'm using this as an example. They took this Nokia phone and flew it to the moon. But you can't get with people, but you can't get with one of these to the moon? You're telling me that you actually believe that they went to the moon and they walked around the moon? Sorry. They didn't do that with no Nokia. If they can't do it with an iPhone, they didn't do it with a Nokia. They just didn't. Plain and simple. Why haven't they done it every... Why don't they do... Okay, why am I not taking flights to the moon right now? Like, why am I not taking flights to the moon? Like, why aren't we having flights to the moon on a normal basis? Where people are walking on the moon now. When technology has gotten so much better. Why?
It's the only time in history that a technological achievement like the automobile or the airplane or nuclear power, that no nation on Earth could repeat it 50 years later, when in fact it should be 100 times greater 50 years later. If they could go to the moon with 1960s technology, men would be in another solar system by now. Men would have walked on Mars 10 years later, 40 years ago, which never happened. And there would be bases on the moon there today, of which there are none. It's the only time in the history of the world that technology that cost $175 billion was deliberately destroyed afterwards.
Right. Okay, stop there. So ask yourself this question. So why did they get all of those things? If they went to the moon, why did they destroy all that technology? You're going to see it in videos where they admit it. That's their excuse. Right? They're going to admit it. That they destroyed the technology. They never had the technology. They never went there. And furthermore, I don't think anybody can go there. You know, wherever, you know what the Bible has a principle? I'll show you. And the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of thy foot, right? The Bible talks about the sole of the foot, right? It talks about wherever man's, it talks about the earth being man's dominion, right? Man's dominion, right? Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Man has been was given dominion, right? And God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man was given dominion over the earth. So wherever his feet trod, wherever he went, man was given dominion over the earth. He was never given dominion over space. The moon, another planet. He was given dominion over the earth. God set man in the earth. Right? Man set dominion. God gave man dominion over the earth. The earth is the center of God's creation. Christ came to the earth. That's why he came. Nowhere does it tell us that we're to go off into space or that we could even leave Earth's atmosphere, the upper atmosphere of Earth, that we could leave the Van Allen belts, which we're going to talk about a little bit. Where do we have any example of that we can leave the Van Allen belt? Where do we have that? Where man can survive. In Astronauts Gone Wild, Bart Sabrell asked the man a question. He said, how did you get through the Van Allen belt? And he said, I don't know that we went through the Van Allen belt. You know where the International Space Station is? It's 300 miles directly up. The International Space Station is below the Van Allen belt. It's below it. Way below it. And they even have radiation problems at the International Space Station. In dealing with the radiation that comes from there. They get multiple years worth of radiation. 250 miles up. Where the International Space Station is. They can't handle the amount of radiation. You consume more radiation there than you do in years and years and years of being here. On Earth. All the satellites and everything they do are inside of the Van Allen belts, on this side of the Van Allen belts. They are not anywhere near going through those belts, that radiation dome. Why? Because God didn't want you to go there. That's why. Because God didn't want you to. If he wanted man to go there and to explore there and to do that, he'd make it possible for him to do it. And it isn't. And they didn't do it. Whether they want to admit it or not, they didn't. But we'll show you more about that. Let's back up just a few sentences here. We get the gist of this.
It's the only time in the history of the world that technology that cost $175 billion was deliberately destroyed afterwards. Would Bill Gates spend $175 billion to make the first computer and then, when he was done, throw it and the schematics in the trash?
But okay. Ask yourself that question. Would you make the first Windows computer and then trash all your schematics of how to do it? No. So, would they? No way. Of course they would. They didn't even have it. They never did it. And they've placed it all in top secret files so no one can actually see anything. Because there's no proof they went to the moon. I don't care what anybody tells you. There is no proof they walked on the moon. The reason the story of the moon landing, it wasn't just the propaganda, it's war propaganda. Van Allen, the other Parsons, others that were connected with jet propulsion and all those other things, they were all Nazis. They hired Nazis to do this. They brought Nazis over. Operation Paperclip. They hired all the Nazis to come over and to do this. So they were working for Nazi, or the Nazis were hired by us.
But that's what NASA claims that they did. They only did that to destroy the evidence of the fraud, which is proof itself that they didn't go. Because if they really went, they would never destroy the technology. The B-52 bomber was made 70 years ago and is still in service today in the United States Air Force because it worked so well. Now they want to return to the moon, and they're having to recreate all that equipment from scratch because they deliberately destroyed it in order to hide the evidence of the fraud. I say it's harder to believe that the moon landings are real than to believe that they were fake. And this one picture proves that it was taken inside of a television studio on Earth.
I agree with him. I believe that it was all done in a studio. I think that's what Area 51 and all that other garbage is about. It's just hiding the sets and scenes and everything else. I don't believe anybody found any aliens anywhere because I think aliens are devils. They're fallen angels and they're devils, and they're not going to let you find their bodies because they're not going to die like that. Okay. So, that's that video right there. What it does is it shows you his position. Right? It shows you his position on where he's coming from. And there's more. I mean, he's got more. Now, we're not going to watch this video, but you should watch this video. It's called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. It's 47 minutes long. About 47 minutes long. We're not going to watch it here today, obviously. But watch it on his website. On BartSabrell.com or here, whatever here. Or his Bart Sabrell Moon Fraud page here, okay? Watch that 46-minute video. 47-minute video. Okay? If you watch it, you'll learn a lot about his position. He nails it and lays it out for you to show you kind of what he believes. Now, I'm going to show you some other things. I'm going to read a few things to you. Okay? Let's see. These are excerpts from his book. Again, go buy the book. It isn't that much money. How much money it is. Here it is. Let's go to order here. Here's the book right here. $19.99 for a paperback. If you got Kindle Unlimited, you get it free. Otherwise, they'll charge you something. But $20 for the book. Big deal. It's nothing. Right? So, again, I recommend buying the book and doing that. But I'm going to read you some excerpts from it here, okay? First of all, he talks about astronauts gone wild, which I can't play for you because those astronauts are like dropping F-bombs. And he believed that it was right for him to leave it in full context so somebody could hear exactly what they were saying. Okay? So he goes on. He says, next up in Astronauts Gone Wild, I interviewed Apollo 12 astronaut Alan Bean, who then made a living not by repeatedly pulling endless souvenirs out of his closet for hundreds of thousands of dollars auctions, which he claimed were with him on the moon, but rather by selling paintings falsely depicting him on the lunar surface. For the same auctions, if he were not known for this deceitful claim of his, each painting would likely be worth only hundreds of dollars. I conducted this interview in Bean's home. I had contacted him and explained that I was a filmmaker producing a documentary about the Apollo missions, which was true. He just wrongly assumed that I believed that the missions were real and that my film would perpetuate the grotesque lie. Notable revelations in his interview were that the lunar module somehow miraculously powered air conditioning for 3 days nonstop, combating an outside temperature of some 250 degrees Fahrenheit with what were essentially a bunch of car batteries. Think about that. How did they stay cool? They're going through the Van Allen belt. How did they stay cool without burning up? Right? How did they keep it cool on, like, car batteries, dude? Going through the Van Allen belt. Oh, it's cool. Here we go. Feeling good in my 62 degrees. What a joke. With an outside temperature of 250 degrees Fahrenheit. With what were essentially a bunch of car batteries. As I have already said, my astute executive producer laughed out loud at this mathematical and electrically possible impossible claim. Bean also said that the descent engine to the lunar surface was completely quiet because of the vacuum of space. A catch-all excuse for numerous inconsistent claims, which exposed the fraud. Yet another apostle, astronaut Eugene Cernan, said that the descent engine was very loud. So one said very loud, one said it wasn't, you couldn't hear it at all. Which one is it? Indeed, the lunar module was a miraculous flying machine in that it was full of incapable fantasies. On its 22nd testing in 1968, listen, it nearly killed Neil Armstrong during a simulated lunar landing at Ellington Air Force Base. Propellant and instrumentation issues led to Armstrong losing control and ejecting less than 1 second before the lunar module simulator crashed and burst into flames. And all this was at some 200 feet above ground. It took 6 months to sort out these problems. Listen, then just another 9 months later, the lunar module would allegedly be working flawlessly in the dangerous, untested environment of the moon for the Apollo 11 mission and for every time thereafter? Think about this. Doesn't that sound like garbage? See, it was all a hoorah thing. It's just like they did with 9/11. All of them went to the steps of the Capitol and saying, God bless America, and they don't even believe in God. And they're waving their arms and they're singing, God bless America. And they don't even believe in God. And we're all united in this to go kill brown people in the sand, dude. Like, totally, totally united in vaporizing brown dudes over in the sand and their little brown kids over in the sand and totally demolishing them, dude. We are all into this. God bless America as we bomb them to death. And then everybody's like, let's go, George. Let's do it. Let's kill Saddam Hussein. What did he do to you? Absolutely nothing. Except stop using the petrodollar and was going to trade in currency of the EU or some other currency. Well, time to drop some democracy on you, bro. Time to drop some hope and change on you. You need some hope and change. See, these are the facts that you'll find in this book. The next important discovery in Bean's testimony is him revealing, albeit accidentally, that the Apollo crews never went through the vast, deadly radiation belts that surround the Earth. The inner belt can vary from some 124 miles above the Earth, the South Atlantic anomaly, but it generally said to start at some 620 miles altitude with a very intense region of 1.5 R Earth radii off the surface of the Earth around 5,944 miles. And then the belt carries on through 2 R or 7,926 miles. After a small gap, the outer belt begins some 3 R, which is 11,889 miles out. Its region's greatest intensity lies at 4 to 5 R, which is about 15,852 miles, through the 19,815 miles. And after that, the outer belt continues on to some 10 RE 39,630 miles. This is precisely why orbiting the Earth at a height of a mere 250 miles is still preferred limit for astronaut crews today, even with current more advanced technology, specifically due to the aforementioned lethal space radiation. For instance, listen, are you paying attention? I'm asking to put your inner science nerd on right now and listen for a minute, all right? Pay attention, class. These belts are far more complex and lethal than was known at the time of the Apollo, and these dimensions can fluctuate, as can their deadly particle populations. This dangerous unpredictability is exactly why the International Space Station and all current astronauts stay well below the inner belt, orbiting at only about 250 miles above the Earth, and why only the long-ago moon astronauts are the only ones who have claimed to have gone through this deadly region of space, and that with untried 1960s technology. Dude, I'm having flashbacks. I'm having flashbacks of Lost in Space. That's how stupid it sounds that they went up there. So it orbits the Earth at a height of a mere 250 miles is still the preferred limit. At first, Bean said, I'm not sure we went, and I quote, I watched it on video. At first, Bean said this, astronaut Alan Bean, who said he went to the moon. I'm not sure we went far enough out to encounter the Van Allen radiation belt. Maybe we did. Thereby, perhaps unwittingly revealing that the Apollo astronauts actually never left low Earth orbit. Now, I believe this is true. I do not believe that those astronauts ever left low Earth orbit. I don't believe anybody's ever left low Earth orbit. If that's the case, why isn't the International Space Station thousands of miles up there? Why is it 200 miles up from here, right here, 250 miles? Why? Because you can't go any farther, that's why, you bunch of stinking liars. And you know it. You just got a God complex, and you think you're like Satan, and you're going to walk on the moon, and you're going to walk like, and you're going to ascend above the heights of the clouds, and you're going to be like the Most High. That's why. What do I think? Here's what I think, and you can quote me on this. I believe the moon landing, that astronauts landing on a moon, is fairy tales for adults. That's what I believe. To steal an old cliche from the agnostics. I believe that it's a fairy tale for adults. That's exactly what I believe. An absolute fairy tale. Because the liars would have put an International Space Station way farther up there, and by now there'd be a space station on the moon. And they've made no advancements to getting there. The other day they landed. They said they landed a vessel on the moon. Right here. U.S. successfully lands on moon for first time in half a century. With private robot. Wait, really? Who believes this horse dung? U.S. successfully lands on moon for the first time in half a century with a private robot space. Wait, you couldn't get anything back there for 50 years? Oh my goodness, I'm telling you right now, I want to go straight Alex Jones on these people. They're turning the frogs gay. I can't believe how stupid this is. I'm sorry, but you have to be dumb to believe this. It's entirely stupid. Wait, it took you 50 years to get something back to the moon? 50 years? And you said you all like moonwalked on the moon and went. And you're showing these fake stupid steps where you're taking like little steps? Really? Really? And your own news right puts it right in front of your face to mock you and to laugh at you? Right? Do you understand how stupid that is? How dumb this sounds? How they're doing it like right in your face and they're mocking you. And all you dirty smart people are all like, yeah, I believe it because of the amount of sophistication of the stuff that you, well, they couldn't even get you back. They couldn't even get you back. U.S. successfully lands on moon for first time in half a century with private robot spacecraft. Well, what were you doing the other 50 years? You guys were like moonwalking and jumping in space boots and acting all cool and stuff. And you're like, yeah, this is great. Whoa, dude, I'm in space. As you're on the sandy beach somewhere, out in the middle of nowhere, on the sand somewhere, out in the middle of nowhere in some studio made up. It's stupid. I'm sorry. And I don't care if my friends get mad at me. I don't have very many of them anyway. I don't care. It's stupid. If you believe this crap, it is stupid. And I question your intelligence. I absolutely, and I question whether the fact that you are a state head, like, absolute government beast worshiper. I can't help it. It is that stupid to me. It is that stupid. And I guarantee you I'm insulting a bunch of people and I'm sorry, but it's that stupid. These people told you and took fake pictures that they went to the moon, but couldn't get anybody back there. Couldn't even get a stinking rocket ship to go back there in 50 years. The U.S. successfully lands on the moon for first time in half century with private robot spacecraft. Really? And like you believe that they actually walked there? Really? Like, you believe that and stuff? Like, and you're not on crack? And you're not on drugs? And you're not tripping on acid? And you actually believe it? Really? Are you trying to make me feel dumb because I believe this? Yes! I am! It's stupid. It literally is stupid. Look what they said to you. They're putting it right in your face. The U.S. Witness Initiative machines. What is that, Odysseus? Lunar lander touchdown near Malpert A in South Pole region of the moon on Thursday evening. This marked the first American spacecraft that has landed on the moon since the last crewed Apollo mission over 50 years ago. So with your warning, Will Robinson, warning, Will Robinson, warning, with your 1970s space technology, you did that. But now you're like, I mean, we got a rocket there. I mean, this is really bad. What's really bad is it's like right in your face. It's dumb. It's dumb. The last time an American spacecraft touched down on the moon was 1972 during the Apollo 17 mission. The lunar lander touched down at 6:24, and its mission is part of NASA's Commercial Lunar Payload Service initiative, an Artemis campaign. Although the lander was believed to be on the moon, the signal being transmitted by the equipment was lost. What? What? Look what they said to you. They're making fun of you. They're laughing at you for believing this. Although the lander was believed to be on the moon, the signal being transmitted by the equipment was lost. Wait, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute. So you're telling me these 1968 communicators in space, where they were able to perfectly communicate with Earth in 1960, the 1968, the first time they tried, and every time after that, they were able to do that. And I could hear a bat poop in the woods 100 miles away with technology now, and I can shoot the nose hairs out of a gnat from space now. And you're telling me the signal being transmitted by the equipment was lost? Really? Gotcha. Gotcha, okay. In order to get that signal, the crew needed to use a dish in the UK because the lander's transmission had been lost at landing. Nearly 15 minutes later, a faint signal was detected. "We're not dead yet," Mission Director Tim Crane said before telling the team the equipment was on the surface of the moon and transmitted. Okay. The SpaceX rocket, Elon Musk, carried the Houston-based company's Nova Sea Lander, also referred to as Odysseus, from Florida shortly after 1 a.m. on a Falcon 9 rocket departing from NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral. The launch unfolded after a lunar lander from Astrobotic Technology encountered propulsion difficulties during a mission in January and failed to reach the moon. The uncrewed spacecraft has been circling the moon about 57 miles above the surface since reaching orbit on Wednesday and remained in excellent health, 239,000 miles from Earth. Transmitting flight data and lunar images to Initiative Machines Mission Control Center. Yeah. NASA said in a statement that the instruments on board the lander will conduct scientific research and demonstrate technologies to help us better understand the moon's environment. Wait, didn't you do that the first time you were there? Didn't you guys already do that when you were there? Like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 times you said you went there? Right? Oh, not really? Oh, okay. And improve the landing precision and safety challenging conditions of the lunar south polar region, paving the way for future Artemis astronauts missions. Wait. Hey, did you know that it's a federal offense and it's an act of war for any nation to land at the same spot that the U.S. put their flag? Supposedly put their flag. Did you know that no one is allowed to land there? Did you know that, like, any satellites or any images or anything else, they're never allowed to land there at that flight? Did you know that? That Why do you think this rocket didn't land in the same spot? Why not go there and show us all your cool stuff? Hey, I got one for you. How'd you all get that big old Land Rover? That big old Land Rover that you said you folded it up like a suitcase and stuck it in there? How'd you fold that big Land Rover up in there and get it up there? Because I guarantee you, I know about a million people on Earth right now that if you could fold up an ATV like that and travel with it, they'd do it in a heartbeat. So could you just go ahead and sell that and make billions of dollars? Why don't you show us how you took that big, huge Land Rover that you're playing in the sand, not on the moon with? Why don't you, like, show us that? Show us that big, huge Land Rover. Show us how you folded that all up. So we could fold one up like that. I'd love to. That'd be great. Right? Anyway, yeah, I'm not getting the. Katie Porter said something about the guy being a heretic or whatever, being wrong. I'm not getting Bible from him. I'm not learning theology from him. He's not teaching me what the Bible says. I'm not an idiot. I know where I get my theology from. I have a King James Bible. I got my theology straight. I know what the Word of God says. I know what it says about Seventh-day Adventism, and I know what it says about the JWs, and I've preached more on it than any of your friends ever have, and did and put broadcasts out there and warned people and told people. I never said go listen to his theology. I never said go follow his theology. I said, look, he's got some information. He's got some things that he showed. He claims to be a believer. That's what I said, plain and simple. If anybody takes from that I've learned theology from this guy, or I've had him teach me theology, or we're following theology of whatever the man believes, you're sorely mistaken. All right? And you're going to be hard-pressed to prove that, okay? Go ahead. Take your best shot. Go ahead and prove it. I hate that garbage. People know full well what I'm saying. I'm talking about a moon landing. I'm talking about the CIA. I'm talking about information there, plain and simple. I'm not recommending the guy for theology. I don't recommend anybody for theology, if you haven't noticed it. If I have something that's wrong or something that's right, I'll tell you. If I agree with Peter Ruckman on something because he's right about something, I'll tell you. Plain and simple. That's what I do. What I've always done. If somebody has truth, I've showed it. I don't agree with Eric John Phelps on everything. But if he tells the truth, I show you what he says. Peter Ruckman, I don't agree with him on everything. Show him the truth. That's what I do. Plain and simple. Anyway, I'm going to get back to what I was talking about. This stuff is such a joke. It's just a joke. It gets me fired up because people will believe anything the government tells them. Stick this needle in you. Culver's 19 started by some whatever stupid monkey flu thing or whatever. No, it didn't. It started in a lab. That's where it came from. And they admitted it and they funded the lab. Hey, guess who funded the lab where it came from? Guess who funded it? Federal government. They funded it. They funded the Chinese lab that pushed it. Plain and simple. Okay. Anyway, back to what I was. So if technology has gotten that much better, why haven't we got there yet? Alan Bean admitted he didn't even know if he went through the Van Allen belt. He's like, I don't even know if I went through the Van Allen belt. Really? That's really something important that you would know. Wouldn't you think that a real astronaut would know whether he went through the Van Allen belt or not? When I reminded the accidentally truth-telling astronaut that he would first have to go through some 39,000 miles of intense radiation belts in order to reach the moon, he said, oh yeah, then I guess we went right through them. I asked Bean if the radiation caused any strange phenomena, to which he said no. When I pointed out to him that during the highest altitude ever flown by a space shuttle crew, they reported seeing radiation causing shooting stars when they closed their eyes because the radiation was so intense, Bean then claimed to have seen the same phenomenon on his 1969 flight. When I pointed out to him that I believed that the 1997 shuttle mission was the very first astronaut crew to ever report this strange phenomena, 24 years after his 1969 mission, he then changed his story again and said, not on our mission, as they hadn't been discovered yet. He then went on to later forget this very statement that he had just made. Let's see. Yep, forget the statement that he had just made and changed his story yet again to say that he did the same that he did see the same radiation effects on his 1969 mission. Who messes up? Who messes up like that when that's your whole ministry? Or I mean that's your whole work. That's what you do. You're an astronaut. You don't know whether you went through the Van Allen belts or not? Really? Do you believe that? Or do you believe this guy accidentally told you the truth? There can't be an astronaut alive that doesn't know about the Van Allen belts. It's impossible. And for him not to know, I'm not even an astronaut. I'm not a good scientist at all. And how in the world would I know that you have to go through that and an average high school student knows that they would have to go through that and he doesn't know it. He wasn't sure he went through it. Yeah. Because you didn't go through it, that's why. Because Alan Bean was willing to lie while swearing on a Bible, I asked him if he believed in a divine creator, to which he replied, pretty much, whatever that means, as he was one of the few Apollo astronauts who dared to swear on the Bible. Both of them that did swear on a Bible, which you shouldn't ask people to do anyway, he later admits that he was wrong. And he kind of felt bad that he did Astronauts Gone Wild because, you know, asking them to swear on a Bible, you know, you're not to swear, really. And you know, so he said if he had to do it over again, he wouldn't have done that. But anyway, he talked about that a little bit afterwards, that he had some remorse about that. Kind of had some remorse about calling, what's his face, a liar, too. Anyway, So, by the way, both astronauts that swore on a Bible don't believe in God anyway. Neither one of them do. They don't believe in a God anyway. So they could care less, right? Don't care. Okay. Okay, let's see. He talks about in Moon Man Link 7. Another one of Cernan's mistakes was that he claimed that the Earth was continually visible just over the lunar horizon during his entire moonwalk, not much higher in the sky as the photo from the Apollo 17 missions actually shows, and that the Earth was four times bigger than a full moon on Earth. Why is it then that there is not even one photograph of this amazing sight, a picture of Cernan or any astronaut on any mission standing on the moon with the large Earth right over his shoulder? Surely if you were really on the moon and the Earth was really right over the horizon the entire time, as Cernan claimed, you would want a picture of yourself standing there with the big Earth behind you, like a tourist in Paris with the Eiffel Tower behind them. Yet the only photograph of Earth allegedly taken from the lunar surface during his or any mission shows it far up in the sky and looking slightly smaller than a full moon as seen from Earth. So he's got a video of that. It's his number 7. See, astronaut Eugene Cernan claimed that the Earth was continually seen just over the moon's horizon during his entire moonwalk, right? Whoops. Yeah, that was a bad one. This astronaut threatened him. This astronaut threatened him to have, his son did, to have him waxed. Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, that was pretty bad. Let's see. Here's another interesting one, okay? Look at this one.
Right now, we only can fly in Earth orbit. That's the farthest that we can go. And this new system that we're building is going to allow us to go beyond and hopefully take humans into the solar system to explore. So the moon, Mars, asteroids, there's a lot of destinations that we could go to, and we're building these building block components in order to allow us to do that eventually.
Wait, eventually? Really?
Right now, we only can fly in Earth orbit. That's the farthest that we can go. And this new system that we're building is going to allow us to go beyond and hopefully take humans into the solar system to explore. So the moon, Mars, asteroids, there's a lot of destinations that we could go to, and we're building these building block components in order to allow us to do that eventually.
They actually admitted on accident. I think this one is proof of the deadly radiation, right? This is the proof of the radiation that you can't get through. That's one of those. That's proof of that you ain't getting through. So. Yeah, astronauts gone wild. You can watch it on your own. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon. That's another one that you can watch. His government subliminal messages. That was, to say the least. Okay. Anyway, so remember, these guys don't even know that they went. They don't even know that they went through the Van Allen belt. Right? Wait, really? You don't know that, huh? Of course not. They don't know that. So what they do is they get caught up. But while we're on the Van Allen belt, I want you to listen to this.
Greetings, friends and fellow citizens of America. This is Brother Bart's Conspiracy Corner News. Also like to welcome all of our international guests, like Brett in Australia, Seb in Canada, and the many people, fans all around the world who support this channel. Support. Thank you so much. Oh, well, what can I do? I have to talk about what everyone wants me to talk about, and I guess it's become my morbid specialty, why we didn't go to the moon. A lot of people don't realize, just like about 9/11, they don't realize there was a Building 7, a third building that collapsed in its own footprint. So many people don't know that. Many people don't know that the Earth is surrounded by deadly radiation called the Van Allen Radiation Belt. It's deadly because the sun, let's say this is the sun over here, it sends out cosmic rays. The Earth's magnetic field traps them around here, and it itself becomes a barrier of protection for future cosmic rays. So when the space shuttle orbits the Earth, it's right about here, which is only about 200 miles above the Earth. So just pick a spot geographically from you that's about 200 miles away, 250 miles away, I think, actually, and put that vertical, and that's as far as the space station is. In fact, every manned mission, Gemini, Mercury, Skylab, the space shuttle, Soyuz, have all been in Earth orbit around here, except going to the moon. Let's say the moon is this little dot over here. They would have to go through this in order to reach the moon. And it's my belief that they never left Earth orbit. The secret tape from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon proves they were in Earth orbit the entire time. And what a surprise. 50 years later, the farthest a man can travel from the Earth is 250 miles away. 50 years later, from the time they claimed to have gone 1,000 times farther on the first attempt with 1960s technology, which is 1/1,000,000th as powerful as a modern day cell phone. And then you have the Orion project, which is allegedly to take men to the moon, quote, again, or to Mars, in which they'd have to go through the radiation belt. So they sent a spacecraft into this area here, about 3,500 miles up or so, 3,600 miles, to have Geiger counters read and then come back down. Well, here's what this guy had to say about the Orion project, Kelly Smith, who inadvertently admitted they did not go to the moon back in the 1960s.
We are headed 3,600 miles above Earth, 15 times higher from the planet than the International Space Station. As we get further away from Earth, we'll pass through the Van Allen belts, an area of dangerous radiation. Radiation like this could harm the guidance systems, onboard computers, or other electronics on Orion. Naturally, we have to pass through this danger zone twice, once up and once back. But Orion has protection. Shielding will be put to the test as the vehicle cuts through the waves of radiation. But Orion has protection. Shielding will be put to the test as the vehicle cuts through the waves of radiation.
But Orion has protection. Shielding will be put to the test as the vehicle cuts through the waves of radiation.
Sensors aboard will record radiation levels for scientists to study. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space.
We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space.
Wait, really? Why? Didn't you already solve it back in 1968 with your inferior technology? It was like my Nokia cell phone. Right? Didn't you already solve it?
This flight.
Okay, I think that's enough right there. I appreciate this person.
Solve these challenges before we send people through this region. We send people through this region of space. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space.
We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space. For this flight.
Okay, I think that's enough right there. I appreciate this person on this channel who kind of, slowed that down here. In fact, we can take a look at the graphic here again. What they said is, we must solve these challenges of radiation before we send people through this region of space, which means the technology to survive going through the Van Allen radiation belts has yet to be invented. right? Because they must solve these challenges before they can send people through it. And that's what they're working on now. So they just said the technology to survive going through this immense radiation has yet to be invented. Oops. Then why is it that they claim to have gone to the moon? Oh, way back in 1969, and now we know why the shadows intersect when they should be parallel by sunlight. It's because they shot it in a television studio. Now it's all starting to make sense. Do you see? The moon landings were indeed falsified. The technology does not yet exist to send people through this region of space. And Kelly Smith just admitted it. So I called NASA. I said, hey, I'm a journalist. Can I please talk with Kelly Smith? I'd like to ask him a few questions. Oh, no. Since that statement, he doesn't give interviews anymore. Oh, really? Okay. Well, then why don't you send me the Geiger counter readings of the Van Allen radiation belt, because you sent them right up into here, right? 3,600 miles. And go ahead and just send me those Geiger counter readings. I'd like to publish them. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Sobral. That information is classified. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Is the temperature of the sun classified when they sent probes to the sun? When they sent probes to Jupiter to measure how much helium is in the atmosphere, was that information, that percentage of helium in Jupiter's atmosphere, was that classified? No. Was the temperature of the sun classified? No. So why would simply the amount of radiation in a part of nature, why would that be classified? There's no...
Okay. So ask yourself this question. Why would that, why would the amount of radiation right there, why would they classify that? Why couldn't you have that? Here's why. Because if you found that out, you would realize that the equipment that they used back then, there's no way that it could have went. It would prove that there was no way that they got there.
No reason for it, unless disclosing it would prove how deadly it was, which would prove that the moon missions were impossible. In fact, Van Allen himself said in a 1959 report in Scientific American magazine, I'll try to remember to link the article which includes that in this YouTube video description beneath the video. It says that the radiation in the belts from the very first Geiger counter, whose Geiger counters broke because they were so intense, right? They said that those measurements were anywhere from 5 to 100 times a lethal dose. I've talked to people at NASA who were higher ranking than Kelly Smith, and he says, we know the moon landings are fake, but if we try to say it officially, publicly, we'll get fired, and we like our jobs. We have bills to pay, and we like working in the aerospace industry. It's a catch-22. So kudos to Kelly Smith for getting it out there. Brave soul you were to do that, and I hope you don't get fired. This has been Brother Bart's Conspiracy Corner News. Please stay tuned, and thank you for your kind support.
Okay, so...
Right now, we only can fly...
So there's another one here that is super interesting, okay? Let's talk about, in the book he covers it in depth, he talks about the fake moon rock, okay? Did you know that it's like a federal offense, right? If you, I'll read it to you. Let's see. Six of this book. He goes into good details here, okay? With this. Okay. In another 21st century NASA video, a space station astronaut who admits that the low Earth orbit still remains the technological limitation of NASA's manned. We watched that, okay? That one. Okay, another item that is trotted out as alleged proof that the faked moon missions actually happened is the existence of all those lunar rocks that they supposedly brought back from their travels. In August of 2009, it was reported, albeit as a news oddity, and it certainly was, that an alleged moon rock personally given to the Prime Minister of the Netherlands by Neil Armstrong in 1969, who supposedly handpicked it off the lunar surface himself, was opened 40 years later from its presumed permanently hermetically sealed container by a curious museum curator after he had watched a funny thing happen with great interest. Following his microscopic examination, the rock was verified to actually be a forgery. It turned out to be a deceptive, out-of-this-world-looking piece of petrified wood. Yet again, not a single journalist except for myself asked the question, if the moon rocks are fake, what does that say about the Apollo mission? This is precisely why owning a moon rock is a felony, so that none of them can be examined independently. In fact, a 75-year-old woman, we're going to talk about her too. We'll talk about her next. Let's look at this article, though. This is from the BBC News. A treasured piece at the Dutch National Museum, a supposed moon rock from the first manned lunar landing, is nothing more than a petrified piece of wood. It was given to former Prime Minister Wilhelm Dries during a goodwill tour by the three Apollo 11 astronauts shortly after their moon mission in 1969. When Mr. Dries died, the rock went on display at the Amsterdam Museum. At one point, it was insured for around $500,000, but tests have proved it was not the genuine article. The Rijksmuseum, which is perhaps better known for painting by artists such as Rembrandt, says it will keep the piece as a curiosity. It's a good story with some questions that are still unanswered. Zandra van Gelder, who oversaw the investigation that proved the piece was fake, was quoted as saying by the Associated Press news agency, "We can laugh about it." The rock had originally been vetted through a phone call to NASA, she added. The U.S. agency gave moon rocks to more than 100 countries following the lunar missions in the 1970s. U.S. officials said they had no explanation for the Dutch discovery. Really? Huh. That's kind of weird. Isn't it? But that's not the only one. Here's another one. I'll read you the story, then we'll read the article. This is precisely why owning a moon rock is a felony, so that none of them can be examined independently. In fact, a 75-year-old woman was even arrested by federal agents for being in possession of an extremely tiny supposed moon rock, the size of a gnat, which was trapped inside of a thick, clear paperweight so that it could not be easily opened and examined, that had been given to her deceased Apollo engineer husband by Neil Armstrong as a souvenir. To read this story about the fake moon rock, and we have it right here, and to read the story about the moon rock arrest. After Neil Armstrong's apparent departure from this life, oh, that's another one. We'll give you a third one. This is in the book here, okay? But let's read this article. A 75-year-old woman who tried to sell a paperweight containing a speck of moon rock may try to hold a federal agent liable for detaining her for 2 hours in a public parking lot in urine-soaked pants. A federal appeals court decided unanimously Thursday. The U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said Joanne Davis, the widow of an engineer who worked with NASA, was entitled to show that her detention was unreasonably prolonged and unnecessarily degrading. The federal agent organized a sting operation involving six armed officers to forcefully seize a Lucite paperweight containing a moon rock the size of a rice grain from an elderly grandmother. Chief Ninth Circuit Judge Sidney R. Thomas wrote for a three-judge panel, Davis's late husband, Robert, was a brilliant engineer who managed North American Rockwell Apollo project, the court said. During that time, he was given two Lucite paperweights. One containing a fragment of lunar material and the other piece of the Apollo 11 heat shield as gifts. The family believed they came from astronaut Neil Armstrong, but the Ninth Circuit said the source was unconfirmed. After Robert's death in 1986, Joanne experienced financial troubles. Her son was severely ill and had to have more than 20 operations. He has since died. Her youngest daughter also died. and Joanne took responsibility for her grandchildren. She decided to try to sell the paperweights and contacted auction house without success. She finally emailed NASA for help in finding a buyer for what she called rare Apollo 11 space artifacts. She explained how her late husband had received them. Norman Connolly, a special agent and criminal investigator for NASA's Office of Inspector General, was assigned to investigate whether Davis really possessed a moon rock. He had someone pose as a broker and call Davis. During several conversations, all but one recorded, Davis explained how she obtained the moon rock and insisted she wanted to do everything legally. She also mentioned that she hoped to sell her late husband's firearms. At no point was she informed that all lunar material is the property of the federal government and that possession was a crime, the court said. After obtaining a warrant to search Davis and seize the moon rock, Connolly arranged a meeting with her in 2011 at a Denny's restaurant in Lake Elsinore. Davis, who was then 75, went to the restaurant with her husband, Paul Silly, who was about 70, the court said. They had married in 1991. Davis thought she was going to sell the paperweight and place it on the table. The court said instead the law enforcement officer went into action. One grabbed the paperweight from Davis's hand. Another clutched Siley by the back of the neck and held his arms between his back in a bent over position, the court said. They took Davis and Silly outside, and she said they ignored her when she said she needed a restroom. Connolly has admitted he knew that Davis had urinated in her pants, the court said. A federal prosecutor later declined to press charges and Davis sued. Connolly contended that as a government agent, he was clearly immune from liability. A federal judge disagreed and Connolly appealed to the Ninth Circuit. In rejecting Connolly's appeal, the Ninth Circuit said Davis has presented enough evidence to show that her constitutional right to be free of unreasonable seizures may have been violated. Connolly had no law enforcement interest in detaining Davis for 2 hours while she stood wearing urine-soaked pants in a restaurant parking lot during the lunch rush. Thomas wrote, Davis's lawsuit may now proceed. Wait a minute. So why were they so concerned about that moon rock? Right? Why? Because they know if it's tested, it'll come out to be fake. And it's not worth what they said it was worth. Right? So the first thing people do, and by the way, I know I came on strong with that comment, Katie Porter, and I apologize for coming on so strong, but I don't believe I'm wrong with what I said, but I came on pretty strong, and for that I apologize. The point is that what people try to do, and a popular tactic to turn people away, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but to turn people away from the content is to attack the messenger and discredit the messenger completely and to not have to listen to the facts of what somebody is saying. So in other words, if I could find something wrong with Bart Sabrell, then I could find something wrong with all of his investigative journalism. Right? So they do the same thing when you're dealing with any topic. It's a common tactic. Right? So what happens is people will be like, oh, yeah, well, this person is this. So, in other words, because they're this and they can't be talking the truth about this. And that's a very common tactic used. I want to show you something here also. next one? Oh, it's 10D. That's the one I'm looking for. Probably on this one. Check this out. This is in the book, too. Neil Armstrong's wife finds priceless bag of missing space equipment after 40 years. The McDivitt purse had been lost for decades. Really? Even more proof of the moon. This is in the book, by the way. Even more proof of the moon landing fraud is the fact that, according to NASA itself, all the blueprints of the hypothetically miraculous technologically advanced hardware that allegedly put a man on the moon on the very first attempt in 1969 was deliberately destroyed after the supposed mission, as was all this technical specifications of the spacecraft, along with all the flight data that recorded the spacecraft actual location during the missions. You would think that such an one-of-a-kind, supremely valuable and expensive design with all its irreplaceable data would be kept for just short of all eternity, both as a record of the achievement and in case costly information equipment would be needed again to return to the moon. However, after Neil Armstrong's apparent departure from this life in 2012, his widow found a bag of manure. That's pretty much what it is. After Neil Armstrong's apparent departure from this life in 2012, his widow found a bag of moon souvenirs in the back of his closet. The problem is, for Armstrong's entire life, he said that these specific items were left on the moon. Right? Again, more proof that the alleged Apollo missions took place on Earth was deliberately ignored by the CIA's mainstream media. Let's look at this. So this is the McDivitt bag, right? I'm sorry. I don't believe any of that stuff took anybody to the moon. Right? Look at it. Well, that... The bag full of power cables. So here it is right here, okay? The bag full of power... By the way, this article is in plain sight. Look at this. Right there, February 9th, 2015, right there. Right in front of everybody to see. The bag full of power cables and utility clamps may not have looked very interesting when Carol Armstrong found them stuffed in a closet in her Ohio home. Yet the items, which had lain hidden for more than four decades, were actually priceless mementos from the most famous space mission of all, during which her husband became the first person to walk on the moon. The so-called McDivitt purse contained objects carried in the Eagle lunar module during the historic Apollo 11 mission and included the camera that filmed Neil Armstrong's descent on the moon's surface on July 20th, 1969. That camera. Oh, I'm trying not. Okay. The objects which were supposed to be left on the moon as to not add extra weight. Listen to what he says. The objects which were supposed to be left on the moon so as not to add extra weight to their capsule on its launch of the lunar surface will go on display at the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum alongside other artifacts from the mission. Experts said they were of priceless historic value. Wow, you see it? Alan Needle, curator. So who's doing it? The Smithsonian. Oh, well, they would never lie. They would never lie, would they? Alan Needall, curator in the Space History Department of the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum, said, "Seeing such things with one's own eyes helps us to appreciate that these accomplishments are not just books or movies, but involve real people and real things, that they involve an extraordinary amount of detailed engineering and planning." Well, so let me get this straight. You guys can't find giants and giant bones, but you got rocks and you got little hoses from the moon that went to the moon that were supposed to be left there. Come on. This is nonsense. Miss Armstrong found the bag after her husband's death in 2012 and emailed the curator saying it contained assorted small items that look like they have come from a spacecraft. Mr. Needle said, "For a curator of a collection of space artifacts, it is hard to imagine anything more exciting." Among the 18 objects, come on, stop, 666, stop it. Among the 18 objects were cables, netting, mirrors, and the waist tether Armstrong used. There was also the 16-millimeter camera, which filmed the landing on the moon and the planting of the U.S. flag alongside a bracket for the camera, a 10-millimeter lens, and lens shade. They were put in the purse, named after Apollo 9 commander Jim McDivitt, who first suggested taking a spare bag to temporarily carry items, as there was no time to return them to storage. A picture still survives of the bag in Buzz Aldrin's hand in 1969. Mr. Needle said, "As far as we know, Neil has never discussed the existence of these items, and no one else has seen them in 45 years since he returned from the moon." Armstrong had not mentioned the items in his to his biographer, James Hansen. Oh my. I just honestly do not know how anybody can believe this is being. It just baffles the mind. It sounds like such garbage. Let's see. Okay, so there you have it. So nobody could test any of these moon rocks, right? You're not allowed to test any of them. Which is very interesting, isn't it? You know, on page 100 of the book, one more thing, and then we'll be done. I mean, we could talk about this some other time. But one more thing, and we'll be done with it. In page 100 of this book, well, I think I did talk about that. But anyway, he talked about the capsule that almost blew up. And then they took it to the moon. So I guess I already did talk about that. Let's see. He has a confession from somebody. His son, right? No, Neil is not alive. He died. We talked about this video. This is the Van Allen deadly radiation there. Can't watch the getting waxed video. Let's see. The government subliminal messages one is worth watching for sure, but we're not going to watch. Okay. So I think that's it for now. I think I'm going to just go ahead and be done with that for now. Actually. When we're talking about the he talks about Operation Paperclip, Mockingbird. He talks about how the news lies. Here, Dan Rather is going to lie about the JFK assassination. And I think I'll show you this video.
The films we saw were taken by an amateur photographer who had a particularly good vantage point just past the building from which the fatal shot was fired.
Remember, these people are all CIA operatives. CIA, they're the ones that killed JFK.
The films show President Kennedy's open black limousine making a left turn off Houston Street onto Elm Street on the fringe of downtown Dallas. A left turn made just below the window in which the assassin was waiting. About 35 yards past the very base of the building, just below the window, President Kennedy could be seen to put his right hand up to the side of his head to either brush back his hair or perhaps rub his eyebrow. President Kennedy was sitting on the same side of the car as the building from which the shot came. Mrs. Kennedy was by his side. In the jump seat in front of them, Mrs. Connolly and Governor Connolly. Governor Connolly on the same side of the car as the president, and in the front seat, two Secret Service men. Just as the president put that right hand up to the side of his head, you could see him lurch forward. The first shot had hit him. Mrs. Kennedy was looking in another direction and apparently didn't see or sense that first shot or didn't hear it. But Governor Connolly, in the seat in front, appeared to have heard it or at least sensed that something was wrong. The governor's coat was open. He reached back in this fashion, exposing his white shirt front to the assassin's window. He reached back as if to offer aid or ask the president something. At that moment, a shot clearly hit the governor in the front, and he fell back in the seat. Mrs. Connolly immediately threw herself over him in a protective position. In the next instant, with this time Mrs. Kennedy apparently looking on, a second shot, the third total shot, hit the president's head. His head could be seen to move violently forward.
Wait, did you hear what he said? He just lied. He said his head moved violently forward. It moved back because the gunman was in the front and shot him from the front. They're just a bunch of liars. They're literally running a psyop and lying to you right to your face.
His head could be seen to move violently forward. And Mrs. Kennedy stood up immediately. The president leaned over her way. It appeared that he might have brushed her legs. Mrs. Kennedy then literally went on the top of the trunk of the Lincoln car, put practically...
Yeah, you know why she's doing that? She's doing that to get away. Because somebody is shooting in the front.
Her whole body on the trunk. It appeared she might have been on her all fours there, reaching out for the Secret Service man, the lone Secret Service man who was riding on the bumper of the car, the back bumper on Mrs. Kennedy's side. The Secret Service man leaned forward and put his hands on Mrs. Kennedy's shoulder to push her back into the car. She was in some danger, it appeared, of rolling off or falling off. When we described this before, there was some question about what we meant by Mrs. Kennedy being on the trunk of the car. Only she knows, but it appeared that she was trying desperately to get the Secret Service man's attention or perhaps to help pull him into the car. The car never stopped. It never paused. In the front seat, a Secret Service man was on the telephone. The car picked up speed.
Okay, so Dan Rather right there lied to you on national television. He lied. It fit their agenda to lie. So in other words, basically, it fits their agenda to lie, so they lie. And this guy in plain sight is lying to you. His head didn't go violently forward. His head was shot back. It flew back. And the reason why she went back is because there was probably a gunshot in the front that you don't see on the video. and there was more than one shooter, and it wasn't Oswald. It was a CIA hit. Anyway, so why am I saying that? Because they lie. I could show you lie after lie after lie that they plainly lie to people. And they're not telling the truth. And they're not telling the truth about the moon landing. There was no moon landing. They're lying to you. They didn't land on the moon. No man has ever landed on, no man has ever walked on the moon. They're lying to you. And I dare say that no man ever will land on the moon. They're just lying to you. They're a bunch of liars. So anyway, now that you understand that, we'll probably talk about it again. Buy that book. It's worth it. The book is definitely worth it. To talk about the issue, he explains it. I don't agree with all his conclusions that he comes to or anything like that about what the answer is, whatever. But his investigative journalism concerning this issue, there's a lot more in this book. That I just touched the surface in this two-hour broadcast. I did not give you his entire evidence. I didn't even show you the evidence of when they're supposedly taking the photography, which is trick photography. I didn't even get into that. I didn't get into, you know, the astronauts and the questioning and all kinds of, there's a lot of things. But it gives you enough of a jump on it. Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. People lie. And governments lie to their people. Why? Because they're pushing a one-world government and a one-world movement. And they want you to trust the government. They want you to believe what your government tells you. Just like they did with COVID, just like they do with everything, just like they did with the vaccines, just like they do with everything. They want you to believe everything they say. Okay? So anyway. All right. Gives you enough to think about. I'm going to play a song, give you a chance to say hi, and
as I cried out in fear. cried out in fear. Ship ahoy!
All right, everybody, God bless you, and I hope you learned some things from this. It gives you some things to think about, and hopefully they explain a lot to you and make sense to you. And do some investigating yourself. Buy that book, research it, look through it, and hey, you'll think about the accuracy of the news that you hear. I mean, literally, the guy's lying, and it Dan Rather at the end there was lying about that, and the reason why he's lying about that, because it fits the narrative. They're all in on it. Eric John Phelps covers that in his book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. You know, like Spurgeon said, live in the Bible, but visit many good books. And people ought to get educated and know exactly what... you know, what they're looking at for that. All right, everybody, pray for us. Pray for our ministry. Pray for me tomorrow. Lucius and I, we are headed out for a five-hour drive. And I have been praying, and I didn't pray a lot about it, but God knows what we need. And God meets our needs. And I'll show you something here. I want to show you something that's the way God answers prayer. And put it on. I don't think I can blow that up. I don't know how to do that with the Windows. I know how to do stuff with my Mac, but anyway, you probably can't see this that well, but this right here is a baptistry. It's a portable baptistry. And these portable baptistries are $3,000 or $4,000. And they could be up to $4,000 or $5,000, depending, right? Well, this is a way easier setup for us. So we could baptize in the winter and easier and all that stuff, right? This baptistry, someone posted it and they said, you know, we want to give this to a church that's going to use it because we got a different setup and we want to give this to a church. They're willing to give us this baptistry. I just have to drive 5 hours to pick it up tomorrow. So Lee, my son's going with me. Lee might be going with me and we're going to take off there and we're going to go get that free. Amen. All it's going to cost me is the traveling and expenses to get there. The gas to get there. Amen. So what a blessing, because we couldn't afford to buy a $3,000 or $4,000 baptistry like. But it's a blessing, and we have two people that need to be baptized. So they're going to give it to us. And so I'll have about an 11-hour drive round trip tomorrow. But I get to take my truck, and that's comfortable, so that's good. And praise the Lord for his provision. And so we're very thankful for that. So you pray that all goes well with that, and everything works well for that and everything. And we'll be taking off in the morning. Amen. And getting that. Praise the Lord. So anyway, again, you know about our trip coming up to Canada, about our documentary, about the Coliseum, about all the work that we're doing. Please pray about all that work and pray the Lord bless all that. And if you'd like to give towards our ministry, here's how you do it. oldpathsbaptistchurch.org. Click on the donate button. You can go there, or you can go to YouTube. You can go to sermonaudio.com/PastorCooley. Go there. That'll tell you. PayPal, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Salvationpreacher@gmail.com. This one is deep enough that I can dunk them in all the way. I got to have a deep enough one. So this one's deep enough to dunk them all the way in. So anyway. All right, everybody. God bless you. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Have a